Chapter 27. The next night at 8, an audience of about 1,000 greets us from huge temporary bleachers as we march onto the course, and another billion or so join us via TV. Larson has pulled out all the stops once again, with floodlights, deafening rock music, fireworks, and even a flyby of Martha, the plane-ish thing buzzing the crowd just feet above the makeshift arena. The teams stand side by side with their team leaders, red, green, yellow, orange, and blue. One team will be leaving tonight. Aurora sneers at us. "Good luck. You'll need it." I wave back, and she winks. Zach Larson takes to a platform set up in front of the first obstacle. "Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the conclusion of Stage 1, Endurance. Team leaders, are your teams ready for some fun?" The team leaders shout their confirmation, though I detect a little hesitancy from Daniels. We've accumulated points during the past 2 weeks for small milestones like pounds lost or distances run or weights lifted. But our team is second to last, even with Mike Horner leading the entire field of contestants, and our formidable individual likes won't help our team total. Larson raises a gun into the air. "The rule is simple. Each contestant must enter the course alone, completing as many obstacles as fast as possible, gaining 5 points for each, and extra points for better time. There are enough points available for any team to come in first. Likewise, any team can fall to last and go home. Good luck." He pulls the trigger, and a flare shoots into the air, exploding into the 5 colors of our teams. The crowd oozes. Green team is up first. Aurora, Marina De La Costa, Quinn Keller, and Albert Morse. Larson steps over with his microphone. "Green team, you're currently in the lead. Who will be master this course first?" Marina raises her hand.
"I will, Zach darling. Is a piece of pie."
The crowd laughs, and honestly, I don't think a single one of us expects what happens next. The starting bell rings and the timer starts, and Marina's feet dance across the quicksand sprint, then leap onto and across the swinging rings like a gazelle. She lands on the mat with a flourish, to absolute silence. This heiress to a global fortune, who has never lifted a finger without some giant diamond on it, who has a staff to ensure she never breaks a sweat, just did that. Her smile is the brightest and widest I've ever seen. She pretends to brush dust off her shoulder.
"Well, amici, Marina has some secrets up her sleeve, no?"
The audience, jolted out of their stupor, begins to cheer wildly for the new and improved Marina De La Costa. She curtsies and dives into the underwater swim tank, squirming her way, somehow elegantly, through the mudder and climbs aboard the rover like she was working a lift back at the fill. By the time she reaches the climb, the crowd is hoarse from screaming and every single contestant is picking their jaw up off the floor. Marina scales 30 feet up the climb like a spider, saunters over, and pulls the chain that rings the finish line bell. 4 minutes and 10 seconds. 57 points. Wow. She blows a kiss down to the crowd.
Finito.
The applause and cheers are deafening. I turn to Benji. She did that for you, you know.
Which part? The blowing the kiss part?
The whole thing. She's trying to impress you.
I don't know if I'm so impressed. You know, back in my day, we had to climb barefoot up a cliff twice that high on shards of glass to impress someone.
You had feet? Benji laughs, and Claire smacks him in the arm. Hey, while you guys are joking, Miss Italy over there is dancing on our graves. Jesus, are they all going to be like that? What kind of drugs is she on? And does she have any extra?
Claire, your training pants are on backward.
Mike is already pacing, watching his dream dissolve in front of his eyes.
But things get better, for us anyway. Claire puts her pants on the right way, and several of the other contestants skid, flop, fall, get hit in the face with things, and more or less humiliate themselves. Jaden from Orange Team nearly decapitates himself on the slip and die. Avery Jacobs from Yellow Team somehow falls into the swinging rings pit before they can turn off the flames and winds up running around the whole course in a panic, medics chasing her with fire extinguishers. She's fine, just a little singed, and the audience, and Zach Larson especially, love every moment of the pandemonium. I can hear Larson's advertising cash register cha-chinging. Our team has drawn the shortest straw and is last to go. Despite the encouraging bad performances by other teams, we're still in third place, in order not to end up in last and wind up on Larson's ridiculous wall of heroes. Both Mike and I have to finish the course in 4 minutes, and Benji and Claire have to at least make it to the alligator pit. Daniels barks at Mike, "You're up!" Mike girds himself and tears through the course like a madman. The blue team, currently just ahead of us, starts shifting on their feet and wringing their hands. Mike clambers up the climb, rings the bell, and looks over at the clock. 3 minutes and 50 seconds. 68 points. The crowd erupts. There are no official records to break here, but if there were, Mike has smashed them. He looks down, scanning the crowd and the contestants. His eyes find Marina. And even at this distance, you can see him wink at her. The cameras, of course, pulling close on her face, showing her defiant scowl. But she can't hide a blush on her cheeks. "Smith, you're next." Daniels pushes me toward the quicksand sprint. "Just do the same thing."
"Sure you don't want me to do it faster, sir?"
"You're hilarious, Smith."
"Okay, Paper. Robin, whatever your name is at the moment. How bad do you want this?"
The timer starts, and I dart across the quicksand, through the rings, and into the tank. So far, so good. Into the mudder, and... oh, crap. I just lost a sneaker. Sucked right off my foot. No time to go back. I slither my way out of the mud pit, pull off the other sneaker, and make my way barefoot to the rover, feeling for the first time every single pebble on the soles of my feet. I race through the rover. It's more like the lifts at home than a car, so I've quickly mastered this boulder-ridden section of the course and take a running start onto the slip-and-die. And my bare feet immediately fly out from under me, and I fall on my ass. As my body slides down one side, I turn onto my belly and wait for my body to feel open air and failure. But my toe finds a lip at the edge of the arc and stops my slide. Yes. Just the slightest lip. It's barely there, but it's there. The audience goes hush and holds its breath as I inch my way toe by toe to the end, falling off in a heap onto the exit mat. Cheers erupt, and I mouth a little thank you to whatever camera is in close-up. A thank you to God and to my family for somehow granting my toes superhuman powers for a few moments. The alligator pit proves no match for me, and I smile as I balance on the advancing truck tires, making my way toward the climb. But something's wrong with the machine throwing the tires, a small glitch creating larger gaps between the tires. It's totally unfair. I have to leap from tire to tire. No other contestant had to. I'm barely landing on each one in succession. But I can't whine about fairness. Not now. Now I just have to finish. I lunge at the last tire, and then to the awaiting platform. And I hear a crunch. Searing pain tears through my torso. I just broke a rib. At least one, and maybe two, I'm sure of it. I want to curl up in a ball and cry it hurts so bad. Give up. But that's when I hear it.
"Get back in the saddle, kid."
It's Dad. I open my eyes, fully expecting him to be there, standing above me, like every other time I've fallen, arms out to help me up. But he's not here. And another feeling hits me, right where I just broke my rib, right in my gut, a feeling I've never had before. I miss them, my family, desperately.
Before this crazy show, I'd never been away from them, not for a day, not for an hour. I dreamed of time to myself, of being alone for once, and now I'm here, utterly alone. And I have an incredible yearning for them, for Nana to put a warm compress on my boo-boo and hum a tune until I can get to sleep. I ache to hear my dad snoring on the recliner in the living room. I ache to see my sisters running around our little yard trying to catch chickens.
Get back in the saddle, kid.
It's his voice again. And this time I raise my head and look around. It sounds so real. He's not there, but I have the overwhelming sensation that somehow he is here. Yes, watching breathlessly on our crappy TV, cheering me on with Rock and Scissors and Nana. They're screaming for me to stop lying here and hurry the hell up. I can feel them pushing me, willing me to do better than I've ever done. Fueled with adrenaline, a feeling of invincibility washes over me. And I look 30 feet up at the climb and put the pain away somewhere deep, just for another minute, and get back in the saddle. Climbing hold by climbing hold, I pull myself up as my rib cage begs me to give up until I reach the top, roll over to the chain, and pull. 4 minutes and 48 seconds. 60 points. Now I let myself curl up into a ball, wheezing, while the crowd cheers and I cry like a baby, simultaneously trying to calculate if we still have a chance. Maybe. If Benji and Claire make it past the slip and die, we can stay alive. Maybe. They lead me back to our team's area, and a medical tech attends to me with a scanner.
Hairline fracture of 2 ribs. Let's get you into the med bay.
No, I push him away. I'm not leaving my team. Daniels looks down at me, and for the first time since the day with the push-ups, he smiles. Benji's next, and he tries, he really does, but his rover tumbles over a particularly large boulder, landing on its roof. Thank God he's safe, but he can't get the rover righted. He's finished. Only 20 points.
Mike buries his face in his hands, sneaks a hesitant peek at the scoreboard, then turns to Claire. You know what that means, right?
Please don't say it, Mike. Please don't say it.
He doesn't have to say it. We all know. Claire has to finish the entire course. As Benji slumps back to us, guilty, like a dog who chewed a shoe, Mike does something very un-Mike-like and places Claire's hands on his. You can do this, Claire. There's more in there than you let the world see.
Claire seems to be part shocked at this intimacy and inspired by his words, and unleashes her inner champion at the ring of the starting bell.
Now, if there's something opposite Marina's elegant show before, this is it. It's awkward and lumbering and hilarious to watch, but Claire's determination is lighting up the likes, and the crowd is going insane for its last contestant,
and she is, in fact, making progress. Somehow, possibly again with Almighty God and my family wishing it, Claire makes it past the rover, and sliding like a slug across the slip and die. Then the alligator pit, and miraculously through the truck tire roll. The cheers are deafening. It feels like the positive vibe of the audience alone could lift Claire up the climb. But she just stands there at its base, bent over, hands on her knees, wheezing and crying. She's done, spent, totally, completely empty. She looks over at us, I don't know, maybe expecting us to say, "Don't worry, Claire, we didn't want to go to Mars anyway." But we just stare back at her like, "Anytime you're ready, Claire." I'm on the verge of tears again, too. I don't want to go home. Come on, Claire. I don't belong here. I belong up there. I didn't risk my life getting this far just to fail. Please stop crying and do something. There has to be a way. There's always a solution. There's always... Wait. An idea. I put my hand on Mike's shoulder. We're not going home.
marching across the course, to the gasps and shouts of the audience and the other contestants, I meet Claire at the base of the climb and kneel, looking up into her eyes. She blubbers over her sobs, embarrassed. It's over, isn't it? I whisper, we're not going home, Claire. Not today. Reach up for the first climbing hold.
But you're breaking the rules.
I grin. And which rule is that? She searches her mind. I can see the gears turning, trying to recall the rule that says one contestant couldn't help another.
I just assumed.
Don't assume anything, Claire. Now reach up and grab that climbing hold. She blows her nose in my shirt. Gee, thanks, Claire. And stretches and takes hold of the piece of hard rubber.
I can't.
You can, Claire. I lean down, put my shoulders under her ass, and push up. My ribs threaten to explode out of my body, and a bolt of pain almost floors me. But Claire's foot wiggles around and finds its first hold. I push again, through the pain. Her foot reaches the next hold, this time a little more confident. The shouts from the blue team, currently just ahead of us in points, grow louder. She's cheating! Stop the competition! But the cheers from the audience drown them out. Claire, Claire, Claire! We're doing it. Claire is slowly but surely moving up the wall, her sobs reduced to sniffles, with me underneath pushing, emitting little whimpers of pain. She whispers down to me,
You poor thing, Robin. Are you okay?
Feeling the burn, Claire.
Your poor ribs. Is there anything I can do? Shift my weight a certain way?
No, just whatever you do. Don't fart. The cheers reach a crescendo as Claire claws her way to the summit, stands up, knees wobbling, and pulls the chain, ringing the finish line bell. She reaches down and pulls me up the final foot and throws her arms around my neck, practically choking me, and sobs again, this time for joy. The points on the board show 213. We're ahead of last place by 2 points, and our likes are increasing so fast it's just a blur. The crowd claps and cheers and sings together, There she goes to the show. Will she win? Heck if we know. But she'll give it her best. Take a shot against the losers, the rest of that lot. Walk to the launch pad. Aim for the stars. Don't close your eyes. You're going to Mars! It's sweet and thrilling beyond the beyond. But as I dare sneak a glance over at Zach Larson, I'm positive he'll be shaking his head and boot us from the competition for this flagrant disregard of the rules of his ridiculous game. But he's grinning up at me, and it strikes me. Of course he loves this. Not only did this make the show even more exciting, people will sure as hell be arguing about it at work tomorrow, but hadn't he done the same thing to get to this point in life? Make up his own rules? Own the game? Change the game itself if he needed to? The blue team's having none of it. They rush over to Larson, grousing and pointing, demanding our expulsion, or at least for a fair try at doing the same. Larson shushes them and takes to the microphone, addressing us all. Blue team, all teams, our audience, the people at home all over the world. What you've witnessed may not seem fair, but it is not cheating. Our assumptions told us tonight's competition required a person alone to run the course. But the single rule states each contestant will enter the course alone. He flashes a sly grin. It does not say anything about finishing the course alone. He twirls around, challenging the audience. Now consider this. There may be a moment on the voyage of high heaven when rules aren't enough, when fairness simply doesn't apply. when life is at stake, what's to be done then? Complain? Die because of some arbitrary rules? No. Our crew will have to ignore their assumptions, their preconceived notions of fairness, and use every resource, every creative and unorthodox solution to work together to complete their mission. To stay alive.
He points up at me.
I ask you all, who would you want in that moment?
The crowd chants, Robin, Robin, Robin. And I look down at the rest of my team. Benji and Mike, grinning wide. Even Captain Daniels looks slightly proud-ish. And when I look back up to the big board to see us still in the game, I smush up Claire's cheeks and give her a big fat kiss. And we laugh and cry and raise our hands together in the air. Second to last place, and two broken ribs never felt so good. The blue team is added to the wall of heroes, though they don't go into the sunset quietly. In fact, I think I hear the word attorney being shouted from the departing bus. And the green team, led by Aurora, receives red scarab medals, just like on the Olympics. Larson even has an Olympic-style podium there for the first, second, and third place teams. While the show's anthem plays, though we're nowhere near the winner's podium, Claire, Benji, Mike, and myself hold hands, knowing we've won the night and made it a step closer to Mars. After the cheesy but awesome ceremony, Aurora saunters over, flashing her medal. Hey, Robenji. Shiny, huh? Benji reaches out and holds it up, examining it. Aluminum with gold electroplate. This must have cost them at least 3 credits. Congratulations. She snatches it back. Oh, hush. She turns to me. Well, look who's making up her own rules now. And pokes me in the ribs. The searing pain feels like she stabbed me with a knife. Ouch! What the hell?
Oops. Just wanted to make sure you weren't faking it.
I see you're not.
Sorry.
I'd like to punch her in the face for that, but her apology actually sounds sincere, and punching people in the face on live TV isn't really my thing. Hey, congratulations, Aurora. You guys really knocked it out of the park.
We did, didn't we?
Marina Della Costa walks over too, and we exchange niceties. And as her and Mike flirt, I don't know why, my eyes sort of land on Aurora's shirt, on her number patch, the number 1. 01. 01. Something about that number. It reminds me of something. Oh my God. My mother. That picture of her being arrested, one hand in a circle, one hand giving the finger. Oh. And 1. Oh, 1. My mother isn't getting sloppy. She got arrested on purpose. To have her picture taken. She knew one way or another I'd see it. And she's sending me a warning. Watch out for Aurora. Aurora taps my shoulder.
What you thinking, sneaky?
Nothing,